When we consider the many attractions in Forest Park, many things are likely to come to mind before we think of great horned owls, unless you know amateur naturalist and blogger Mark Glenshaw. For more than a decade, Glenshaw has been a regular visitor to the park, tracking, even naming, owls and their offspring. He regularly conducts what he calls owl prowls, leading interested amateurs to his hidden world in the park. Mark Glenshaw joins me in studio once again. It's been about a year and a half since we were last together.
Indeed,
Mark,
December 2013. It's great to be back, Don. Thank
well,
you.
Well, bring us up to speed. The last time we talked, there were two adult owls that you were talking about with two offspring, I guess, on the way or had just arrived.
Let's see. December 2013, they were just starting to nest for the 2014 nesting season, and they had three owlets in 2014, and it was precedent-setting in a couple of ways. It was the first time that they repeated a nest in consecutive years, and it was the first time that they had three owlets in consecutive years. They had three in 2013 as well. So very exciting to see these new precedents and another incredible year of seeing them have youngsters and everything develop from there.
So how large is this family right now?
They actually have two brand new owlets that are about, well, not quite brand new, but about 10 to 12 weeks old. And these are the 22nd and 23rd owlets that I've seen Charles and Sarah, the parents, have.
The names you've given the two adult owls.
The two adults, yes, sir.
Well, remind us, Mark, of what your fascination has been with these particular creatures.
It's really a three-tiered thing. One is just going out and connecting with nature in general. I drove through Forest Park on my way to work this morning, and I had a good morning before that. I just felt that much better having driven through the park and seeing the trees and the water and the grass and the plants and the bushes and the flowers. So there's connecting with nature in general and then connecting with these great horned owls. Two, there's very much an aesthetic response to these great horned owls. They are beautiful, beautiful animals. I often refer to Charles and Sarah as the Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt of birds. And then lastly, there's a very compelling scientific fascination with these animals. The most widespread, commonly found owl in North America, and we know a lot about them, but there's a lot we do not know.
Well, they may be very common, but very few of us have ever seen one.
That is often the case. Yeah. I always, when I lead an owl prowl, I always ask for a show of hands how many people have seen an owl. And sometimes I'll have nights where 70, 80, 90% of the people have seen owls. Other times, 10, 20%. I've had people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who have never seen an owl of any kind in their entire life.
Very strange. You know, I walk in the park every day. And since we last became acquainted a year and a half ago, whatever it was, every day I'm walking, I'm looking for owls, and I've never seen one.
I love having that effect on people, whether they've seen them or not seen them, that, hey, now I know that they're here. Yeah. Let me keep my eyes and ears peeled. What I would say to you and say to everyone and anyone listening is join me for an owl prowl. 99.9% of the time, you're going to see these owls.
Of course, you have to know where to go. And I know you're very protective of their particular habitat because you're not anxious to see a lot of people just converge on it without kind of knowing what they're doing.
Exactly. I'm not from Missouri, but I really like the ethos of the Show Me State. Yeah. People say to me, well, where are the owls? And I respond to them by saying, if you show me that you're serious and you come out on an owl prowl and spend some time and some sweat and some effort, I'm going to show you chapter and verse, soup to nuts, about these owls, but I'm not going to just give it to you on a platter.
Well, how does one become a part of one of your owl prowls?
Very easy to do. Go to my website at forestparkowls.blogspot.com, and you'll find my email address. Email me 2 to 3 dates that work for you. I take up to 10 people on a prowl. There's no minimum. If it's just you, yourself, and I, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I lead all owl prowls all the time. Tonight I'm leading a group of ladies, and this is already on April 16th. This is my 20th owl prowl of 2015.
Do it all year round?
Year round. I led 68 last year.
Well, we'll put all of that information on our website at stlpublicradio.org with regard to how to get in touch with you. How long do they last?
Owl prowls last about 2 hours, and we meet an hour before sunset. Of course, that is a moving target as sunset changes during the course of the year for example, right now I'm meeting groups around 6:15.
You have no idea each time you go how many of the owls you're going to see or how they're going to react to you or anything, I guess.
That's one of the other big compelling reasons. You never know what you're going to see. Now, I go to see the owls about 5 to 6 nights a week, about 260 to 300 nights a year. And that gives me quite a rich database, especially now that I've been doing it for many years now. But I still never know exactly where they're going to be. I mean, the other night I led a prowl for a couple from Connecticut. They had come all the way from Connecticut. They were here on other business. And I showed them the owls, and they said, oh, they're always there? I said, no. Here's where Sarah was 2 days ago, yesterday, and here's where she is today, all different spots.
Do Charles and Sarah, do you think, know you as often as you're there and around them and looking at them and looking for them?
At most, I think it's an element of recognition. It's not, oh, Mark, how are you? How's your mom? I like your new haircut. Okay. It's more, I would say, at most, recognition. And I would attribute that to three things. One, the longevity. Two, the frequency. But more important than any of those is how I do it. I watch them very carefully. I have gotten closer to them over the years, but that's something I've done very, very gradually. I dress in dark, muted colors. I wear clothes that don't make noise. I move very quietly. I don't use flash photography. I don't use flashlights. It's all about being very respectful to them because 13 million people a year come to Forest Park and do literally everything under the sun. But no matter what they do in the park, all those things have the same conclusion. We pack up and go home. I finish seeing the owls. I pack up and go home. The owls and everything else that lives there, it is their home. And it's imperative and incumbent upon us that we be good guests.
Why would these owls, Sarah and Charles and the rest of the family, stay in Forest Park? We have 13 million people traipsing through your house. that's a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of other places to go, not much of a flight away.
This is very true. This shows two very interesting things working together. One, it shows the incredible adaptability of great horned owls, the most widespread, commonly found owl in North America, living in almost every habitat. It also shows the ecological health of Forest Park, and through the efforts of Forest Park Forever and the City of St. Louis to revive the park, not just its man-made structures, but its ecosystems, the park has become a much healthier ecological system. These owls are right at the top of the food chain. They're not going to hang out in an area, regardless of what it's called or how many people live or work there or go there. They're not going to live in an area unless it has all the ecological building blocks that allow them to flourish, and they continue to flourish.
Well, that certainly includes food. And I was just astonished when you were here last time talking about their abilities to hunt and the size of the prey that they are attracted to. I mean, owls aren't that big, but they'll go after something that's a lot bigger than they are.
Indeed. I was just had a very memorable prowl conclusion the other day. We had seen many great behaviors of the owls, and we decided, okay, now it's time to wrap it up. And I looked to my left, and here was Sarah blazing through the sky. They fly 20 to 40 miles per hour, and she went after a great blue heron, a bird twice her size, one of the largest birds in the area. And the bird went screaming off, literally flying away for its life.
What about our pets? I mean, a lot of people walk their dogs in Forest Park, and I would think that might be an attractive target for an owl.
Indeed, it can be. They are known to eat small domestic dogs and domestic cats. A leash is your best friend. When I see people with a dog within the owl's size range without a leash, I ask them to leash their dog, one, because it's the law, and two, there are animals, not just the owls, there are animals that could possibly eat their dogs.
Well, that's disquieting, to say the least.
It is disquieting, but it's also important to remember you're in their home.
Yeah, all 13 million of us.
All 13 million of us.
Let's take a call. If folks would like to get into this conversation, as time allows, we'll take your calls at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or tweet at STL on air. Mike will join us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air with
Hi, Don.
With Mark.
Hello. Hi, I ran into your Al probably about 8 years ago. I was taking pictures of the full moon, and I heard the owls, and I tend to talk back to animals, so I hooted up to them, and you came running out of the darkness and said, I wouldn't do that. They might attack you. So I appreciate that. But I'm curious. My brother lives in Decorah, Iowa, and I don't know if you're familiar with the owl cam or the
eagle cam
they have
indeed.
Here. But it is just phenomenal and worldwide now. And I'm curious if you've thought about the idea or have talked to others about doing something like that, or if it's a good idea for you, for the owls.
Excellent question, Mike. I have talked to the St. Louis Zoo about that, and long story short, it really didn't go beyond just some very initial discussions. And frankly, I would like to take that further. Done right, like the Decorah Owl Eagle Cam, these things can be immensely helpful in generating awareness and education, as you said, truly worldwide. But it is one of those things where you have to do it very carefully, very correctly. And the owl's well-being is my paramount concern. My first goal every day is to count heads and make sure everyone's there and healthy and doing well.
Mike, thank you for the call. Are there other owl families there that you're aware of aside from the ones that you visit so regularly?
Just had a very interesting development today. There is another pair of great horned owls in another area of the park, and this pair was found by my friend Robin Street Morris in the summer of 2011. They started to nest in 2012, but it was not successful, and we hadn't seen them nest subsequently. Well, I just got an email today from one of my Allen Park friends, Bill, and he said, I was in this other part, and I saw one of the adults, and I saw a fledgling. So that was very exciting. Now, there are some barred owls, not barn with an N, but barred, B-A-R-R-E-D, barred owls in the park, and some of them have nested successfully.
You know, we have said that for most of us, we don't get a chance to see the owls, but we can hear them from time to time, and we have some audio so that folks will recognize what an owl sounds like. We have Charles and Sarah, by the way, from, I think we swiped it from your website. Well, let's take a listen to what these two owls sound like. Well, do you recognize the
Very much so. That was Charles at first, and then Sarah responding to him, and Charles overlapping a little. The call of a male and female sometimes can be hard to tell apart. Thankfully, in Charles and Sarah's case, it's quite easy to do so. And in addition to that, the call of each owl is unique. My mom's going to be 79 in June, and even now she can tell her four sons apart when we call on the phone. Hmm. And having seen other great horned owls in the wild, it is interesting to see, yes, that is the male, that is the female, but wow, that male has a slightly different quality, or it trills on this note and this one doesn't.
Well, let's take a listen then to one of the offspring, because that is somewhat different, and we'll hear that difference right now. Sounds like a crow to me.
Slightly similar to that, cacophonous, not necessarily a melodious sound. That is a begging cheep, C-H-E-E-P, of a young great horned owl. And that is the owlet's way of saying, Mom, Dad, I'm over here and I'm hungry. And as you notice, they don't wait too long to repeat themselves.
No, not too long, but I was frightened there for a second. We wouldn't get that second one. But, you know, our producer, Alex Hoyer, is suggesting that you, instead of talking with the St. Louis Zoo about videography there, you ought to talk to Forest Park Forever. Have you done that, or does that make sense to you?
It definitely does make sense to me. And in my discussions with the zoo, it was, if memory serves, partnerships with organizations like Forest Park Forever, for which I am a member and a very active volunteer,
sure,
are a natural thing to do, as well as folks like Missouri Department of Conservation, the World Bird Sanctuary, things like that. Oh, no, Forest Park Forever, especially as they manage, co-manage the park with the city of St. Louis, they would definitely be in that discussion.
They do a great job.
Incredible.
They have done a great job. We have a tweet here asking, how many Charles and Sarah's total owlets do you think have survived to adulthood, and how far do they disperse?
Excellent tweet question. The tough fact of the world is that just because you're a top of the food chain predator like a great horned owl doesn't mean that life is easy. Many owlets do not make it to their first birthday. Those that do, there are many that do not make it to year two. Of the 21 they've had before this year, if 60-70% have gotten to age two or three, I'd be happy about that. And where do they go? Somewhere else, not Forest Park, but generally in a southerly direction, often scores of miles, often 70, 80, 100, 120 miles.
They are hunters, but they are also prey. And they are prey for whom?
Very few things. When they are young, they are vulnerable to raccoons, red-tailed hawks, cats, dogs, coyotes, bobcats, mountain lions, bears, things like that. When they're mature, very few things are going to be a threat to them. They would have to be very surprised, ill, or injured, and then you would be talking about things like bears, mountain lions, bald eagles. Very few things are going to mess with them.
That's, I would think. Let's take another quick call. Time's getting away. Emily in St. Charles, go ahead, please. You're on the air, but please make it quick.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I ran into Mark in Forest Park last year around the World Fair Pavilion, and he was kind enough to show me the location of one of the owls. It was a really, really cool experience. And you addressed this briefly, but I wondered if you had actually entered into talks with the Department of Conservation and the World Bird Sanctuary. You might have heard they have a camera on a peregrine falcon nest up at Portage du Sault.
Yes, second or third year in a row.
Yeah, exactly. So, they go up there and they hook everything up and they watch the nest box and everything. So I think it would be a great partnership for you, both for the Department of Conservation and for the World Bird Sanctuary, to maybe let us into the lives of the great horned owls in Forest Park.
Thank you. I appreciate your encouragement. I hope those institutions are listening. And at the same time, it is part of the attraction with the owls is also the mystery of them. I mean, it's great to see these webcams and see exactly what's happening, but it's also really neat to see in particular the nest spot they've used the last 3 years in a row now. Sarah disappear into the nest and not know exactly what's going on. Have a very good idea of what's going on because of my research and so forth, but still just have that element of we don't get to see 24/7. I'm certainly glad there's not a camera on me 24/7.
Aren't we all? But these days we almost have cameras on us 24/7.
Indeed.
I'm going to bring Brenda into the conversation. Brenda, this has to be blitz fast.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I have known Mark for over 4 years now, and I just want to thank him personally for everything that he has taught me about great horned owls, and also say that Forest Park and all of St. Louis is very lucky to have Mark in the park almost on a daily basis promoting our Forest Park here in St. Louis.
Thank you, Brenda. That is immensely kind of you. Checks in the mail.
Brenda, thank you for the call. We call them great horned owls. But they don't have horns, do they?
They don't. It's one of those misleading names, just as there are owls called short-eared owls and owls called long-eared owls. Well, they're not ears and they're not horns. What they are tufts, T-U-F-T-S, just like the university. And they are bits of feathers, but very interestingly, like a dog's ears or cat's ears, they have complete control of them. For example, they tuck them down when they fly and they can reflect mood and emotion.
Hmm. Which you've deciphered, I'm sure, by now after 10 years of this, Mark Lenshaw.
Working on it.
All right. Well, we'll advise people to check out your website because you've got a lot of fascinating video and photographs there and a lot more information than we were able to get to today. But thanks for being with us again.
Thank you, Don. Real pleasure.
Great to see you. That's it for us, but join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, and he'll talk about the Fox Charitable Foundation's Teen Talent Showcase and a concert featuring alumni at the University of Missouri-St. Louis Keyboard Studies Program. And in the next installment of Soundbites produced with Sauce Magazine, he'll take a look at how the increase in the number of restaurants and bars on Cherokee Street is contributing to the overall health of the neighborhood. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Jennifer Morales about her new collection of short stories about race and racism in Milwaukee and how similar that is to St. Louis, like Milwaukee, a very segregated city. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Our thanks to Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, Aaron Dorr, Katie Cook, Spencer Reed, and Robert Peterson for their help on this program. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.